Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It doesn't get more basic than water. We want and need to turn on the tap and trust it. Last month, we saw the headlines saying that tap water in 31 of 35 U.S. cities tested had hexavalent chromium in it. That's chromium-6, the Aaron Brockovich chemical, a potent carcinogen. We could not let that slide. Today, we're following up this hour on Point: tap water safety, the chemicals around us, and what's going on with the water we've got. You can join the conversation. Do you trust your water? Do you know what's in it? Do you know how much chemical is too much? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Aaron Brockovich taught us all about chromium-6, hexavalent chromium. Here's a little bit of Julia Roberts playing Aaron Brockovich in the 2000 film. You can hear the high dudgeon.
These people don't dream about being rich. They dream about being able to watch their kids swim in a pool without worrying that they'll have to have a hysterectomy at the age of 20. Like Rosa Diaz, a client of ours, or have their spine deteriorate like Stan Bloom, another client of ours. So before you come back here with another lame offer, I want you to think real hard about what your spine is worth, Mr. Walker, or what you might expect someone to pay you for your uterus, Miss Sanchez. Then you take out your calculator and you multiply that number by 100. Anything less than that is a waste of our time. By the way, we had that water brought in special for you folks. Came from Well and Hinckley.
There's Julia Roberts as Aaron Brockovich in the 2000 film going after PG&E, the utility company serving Hinckley, California. Here's the real Aaron Brockovich just last month saying hexavalent chromium is still a problem and the utility there still isn't cleaning it up.
It's still not cleaned up. You're still dodging the ball. You're still not telling the truth. And you're still poisoning people. What do you want me to say? They're pathetic.
Jane Houlihan joins me now from Washington. She's Senior Vice President at the Environmental Working Group, the organization behind this latest study we heard about last month. Specializes in toxics and health research. Jane Houlihan, welcome to On Point.
Thank you. Hi, Tom.
Hi. What did you test? What did you find?
We conducted the first national survey of hexavalent chromium in tap water across the country. We tested samples of tap water from 35 cities. We found that this is not just a problem in Hinckley, California. We found chromium-6, hexavalent chromium, in 31 of 35 of those cities. And that's water served to 26 million Americans. So it looks like this is a national problem as well.
I'm looking down this list. Norman, Oklahoma's got way the most. We'll hear from them, but also Honolulu, Madison, Wisconsin, San Jose, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Salt Lake City is in your list, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Then we get right on down to Washington, D.C. and Milwaukee. I mean, these are getting smaller and smaller as we go down here. New Haven, Connecticut getting down there. Miami, Florida, even Boston where I'm sitting. Does that mean I can't go out? And I mean, I've got tap water, right here, water with me right here on the table. Can I not? Should I not drink it?
Most of the tap water in the U.S. meets federal standards. Utilities do a great job complying with federal standards. The problem comes in when contaminants are unregulated, like chromium-6. There's no standard in place for this chemical. This survey shows it's in tap water for 26 million Americans, but when we look at testing done by utilities, it's probably in tap water for many, many more Americans. Utilities are finding something called total chromium, and that includes hexavalent chromium plus less harmful forms. 70 million Americans are drinking total chromium. Now, the levels that we found are in the parts per billion range. That sounds really low.
Yes, it does.
But parts per billion. But the state of California just issued a new proposed standard, safety standard for hexavalent chromium in tap water. It's not yet mandatory, but it's 0.06 parts per billion. In the last couple of weeks, they lowered that recommendation to 0.02 parts per billion to take into account the vulnerability of children. So this is
looking at your list here, and you've got it by parts per billion in different places. Boston, Miami, Scottsdale, Arizona, New York City, they would all come in at or below that 0.06 parts per billion. Cincinnati, Ohio, but they would not come in under 0.02. What's the danger of hexavalent chromium down at these levels?
Well, the danger is not a glass of water. The danger is a lifetime of exposure. So if you're living in the same town, drinking the same water year after year, hexavalent chromium is a carcinogen, and that cancer risk adds up over your lifetime. So levels above 0.02, 0.06 parts per billion, you're getting into levels where health agencies are saying that's not safe to drink over a lifetime. And this is an issue for so many millions of Americans. We're really thankful that the Environmental Protection Agency, after we issued our study, stepped up to the plate. Administrator Jackson said that the agency would deal with this issue expeditiously. They'll provide guidance to utilities to test, and they'll move forward in setting a national drinking water standard, which is really what we need to see happen.
We're going to test the claims here today. Talk to us about Norman, Oklahoma. In your testing, 31 to 35 American cities had some hexavalent chromium in their municipal water supply. That you found Norman, Oklahoma was kind of in a class of its own. Tell us about it.
Norman, Oklahoma stood out. They had levels 200 times higher than what the state of California has proposed as safe. So they, you know, really popped out. The next highest city was Honolulu, Hawaii, at about a sixth of what we found in Norman, Oklahoma. So what we think needs to happen at this point, and what utilities are doing at this point, is moving ahead to do their own testing, get more data in place so that we can see really what's going on nationally. The samples that we took were a snapshot. We tested 35 cities across the country. So EPA and utilities will move forward now to test nationally, get a bigger picture, and, you know, begin the process of, it's not a quick process, of getting a drinking water standard in place. So when you're drinking a glass of tap water, you don't need to be worried that there's a cancer-causing chemical in it at levels that could pose a risk over the long term.
I'm sure that our listeners are thinking about what this might mean for themselves and their families. Let's hear what the director of utilities from Norman, Oklahoma, thinks about it. Ken Comiskey joins us right now from Oklahoma. Ken, thank you very much for being with us today.
Sure. Thanks for letting me be here.
So, you know, you've got friends and neighbors and probably your own family drinking this water, and you see this report, and I don't know, what do you make of it? How do you process this? Have you got a five-alarm fire in your water system, or is it tolerable? How do you look at it, Ken?
Well, that's just the point. It did come across as a five-alarm fire, which was very disappointing to us in the utility field, is that, you know, we pride ourselves on providing safe water to our customers. I mean, that's what we do. And to kind of get hit off guard with this Chromium 6 report did catch us off guard, and was very disappointing in the way it was approached. I mean, I heard about it, and the newspaper said they were going to publish a story on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it on Friday, and so, you know, we pride ourselves in meeting all the state and federal regulations, and we do know there's chromium in the aquifer. It's a naturally occurring element. It's a heavy metal. It's in the aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
But to have the level change that dramatically without any, to us, there's any, you know, great scientific studies or the EPA was issuing things. I mean, that's what we have to rely on. I don't have a slew of scientists or epidemiologists or people to do this. I have to rely on what the state and federal governments say. These are regulations, and you have to meet them, and
no,
we do.
Yeah, no, we got to be sympathetic to that. And leaving aside how you found out, it must have been like a heck of a wake-up here. But what about the numbers themselves? I mean, by their testing, as Jane says, it's a snapshot. It's one time, but, you know, you're 200 times what California's thinking about calling safe. What do you make of that, Ken?
Well, we have to look at where our water comes from. Right now, we have 26 wells, and those wells do range in total chromium of anywhere from below 10 parts per billion to as high as 80 parts per billion. But those wells are all blended together, and those wells only make up, on a yearly average, about 25% of the water our customers drink. 75% of our water comes from Lake Thunderbird, and we have a lime softening plant, which would drop out any heavy metals, so the mm-hmm. number of, the amount of chromium from our surface water treatment plant is below detection, and that's what 75% of our water comes from. So it depends on which wells we're working, on which days, and you know, you have to look at the bigger picture. So for a snapshot, it was very alarming. But again, we have to look at the bigger picture of the water we're serving our customers.
Jane Houlihan, would you drink the water in Norman, Oklahoma? Have you done a disservice or a service to folks in Norman?
I think what we'd like to see in Norman and in all the towns we tested is follow-up testing from the utilities. Because the water quality can change over time, pulling from different wells, different mixtures. So what we need is a handle on what's in the water.
And remind us where it comes from, hexavalent chromium. Ken's saying it occurs naturally there in his aquifer. What are the different sources of it?
And in lots of towns, it can be found naturally. It leaches out of soil and rock. In other places like Hinckley, it's an industrial pollutant. It's been used over the past 50 years in a huge range
of
industries.
What kind of industries?
Plastics, pesticides, leather processing, a stainless steel manufacturer, really, really wide range of industries. It's been a chemical that's been dumped into rivers and streams across the country for years, and it's really putting utilities in a bind.
In these 31 cities that have it, what percentage do you think it occurs naturally, and what percentage from industrial sources?
Well, that's not known right now, and EPA will study that and try to get a better handle on that. But it's likely a mixture in a lot of communities, and it is naturally present, but it's also just been used by so many industries and pollutes so many rivers and streams.
And I didn't hear, would you drink that glass of water in Norman right now today, Jane, or not?
At 12 parts per billion, if I was thirsty, I would drink a glass of water in Norman. I would drinking it over a lifetime would be the concern in Norman, Oklahoma.
And Jen Houlihan, please stand by. We've got to take a break. We'll come right back and we'll hear it all. Ken Comiskey, we're so glad you're with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Talking this hour about the safety of American tap water and a new report that found Aaron Brockovich's nightmare, hexavalent chromium, chromium-6, in the water of 31 American cities. Jane Houlihan is with us. She's Senior Vice President at the Environmental Working Group. It's an environmental activist group that looks actively, in this case, at what's in drinking water. Ken Comiskey is with us. He's Director of Utilities in Norman, Oklahoma. On this day, in this test, they had a pretty high level. He's dealing with that. Let's hear from Jean in Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Jean. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes. I just coincidentally read an article. I don't know whether your expert there had read it this week from apparently a well-respected researcher talking about the town in California, the Aaron Brockovich town, and basically saying that whatever else there was to say, that the incidence of cancer there were not out of the norm, and in fact that you had to ingest chromium to really have a risk of cancer. I'm not a scientist, and I have no idea if that's correct, but I thought at least it's worth talking about, particularly since I think the Aaron Brockovich tale is just fun, but not necessarily something to rely on in a scientific discussion.
Yeah, I appreciate very much your call, Jean. Jane, what about that? Jean's right. I mean, we had the California Cancer Registry Survey released recently, and it failed to find a disproportionately high number of cancers in Hinckley, as I understand it. And there's also this notion that it's not from drinking, but from ingesting, eating, that would create the problem. What about those, Jane?
A few hundred people were exposed in Hinckley, so you literally might not see a cancer case in a study that looks across the population like that. That's not really the right way to...
I mean, they weren't right in the path of the chemical?
It's such a small number of people that those kinds of cluster studies often turn up nothing. But with a potent carcinogen like chromium-6, new data from the federal government shows that it's not just a carcinogen when it's inhaled or in food. We've known that when it's inhaled, we've known for a long time it causes cancer. It also causes cancer when it's consumed in drinking water. So the EPA now considers it likely to cause cancer in humans. It's known to cause cancer in animal studies when it's consumed in drinking water, and it also causes a lot of other effects, everything from anemia, it damages the gastrointestinal tract, lymph nodes, and the liver. So this is a chemical that you really don't want to be exposed to over the long term. Norman, Oklahoma had high levels, but 30 other cities also had chromium 6 in our study.
I hear that. I wonder what kind of pushback you've had. I'm looking at your Henry Miller writing in The Guardian saying, you know, this study is hyperbolic, alarmism, fear mongering. You know, you're taking the numbers and blowing them up, going too far. Have you got much of that?
There's been pushback. I mean, this is tap water, and everyone really cares about their water and wants it to be safe. When we look across the tap water supply nationally, our studies show that there are over 300 different pollutants in tap water in the U.S. that utilities have found in their own testing. So chromium 6 is just one of those, and fewer than half of those contaminants are regulated. So every time you draw a glass of water from the tap, it's very likely you're drinking a mixture of pollutants. It's very likely that many of them don't even have a safety standard. So when we're looking at chromium 6, hexavalent chromium, it's really the tip of the iceberg. But we do consider it one of the top pollutants that EPA needs to address. And the administrator agreed with that and announced when we released our study that she would move forward providing guidance to utilities, getting testing done, and moving forward to develop a standard.
Certainly, Erin Brockovich, the real one herself, has quoted just in the last couple of weeks saying our municipal water supplies are in danger all over the U.S. New Orleans, Louisiana, Chris is calling. Hi, Chris, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Well, thank you for taking the call then. I wanted to make two points basically regarding all this. First of all, being, you know, specifically regarding hex chromium.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to avoid this getting into our drinking water supply, which, you know, everyone wants clean drinking water.
Sure.
And, you know, that you know, all kinds of different constituents are getting into drinking water. But what you do is you go back to the source. Hex chromium is pretty much primarily an industrial chemical. So we focus on industrial sources of getting that to environmental media, and you fix the problem.
Do you have expertise in this area, Chris, in your own?
I'm sorry. Yes, mm-hmm. I do. I am an environmental scientist, so, you know, I'm familiar with this, and I've you know, been working in the field for you know, over
so,
10 so years.
So it sounds straightforward. If there's a problem and everybody's drinking this water, you'd want to go fix it.
Right. But rather than go to the, you know, to put it, I mean, we need to use best science and best technology to say this is how we can reduce it to what the science to epidemiology says is a risk to human, you know, health.
Is there resistance to doing that?
I would say so. I think to make a connection with another drinking water contaminant, potentially at least a dioxin, say, you know, they've been to this day 30 years since 1980 when they first the EPA made the study to determine whether or not it's even carcinogenic. They're still arguing whether it's carcinogenic. This day they're on the second reassessment of that. You know, there's been going back and forth on whether it's carcinogenic, whether it's not.
Who's pushing back on that exactly?
Well, during the first original assessment in 1980 when they came out in 1984 and said it was carcinogenic, industry came out and said, This is not true. We need to go back and look at this. And we've been flip-flopping back and forth since then. And pretty much the science conclusively has shown that, they're, without a doubt, it's carcinogenic.
Chris, I appreciate your call from New Orleans. I want to get to New York, if I may. Forgive me. But we've got Max Costa standing by there. He's a professor, chairman of the Department of Environmental Medicine at New York University School of Medicine, also associate director of NYU's Cancer Institute. And Professor Costa, thank you very much for being with us today.
Yes, hello.
Help us put this in context, because you'll have an awful lot of people listening right now, and they're going to hear it's in 31 cities, and their own city may even be on this list, and they're trying to figure out, you know, I mean, if you're in Buffalo or Las Vegas or Louisville, Kentucky, or, you know, Bethesda or Bend, Oregon, Pittsburgh, all and a lot more on this list, you know, do you just say, turn off the tap, I'm done with that, or it's this? We can work with this? How did you respond to these findings, Professor Costa?
Well, I think it's important to measure hexavalent chromium specifically, and that's not being done now. So
by the EPA, you mean, or by the government
EPA
in general?
By the EPA or mm-hmm. by the utility companies or, yeah. you know, whoever's concerned. And you mentioned bottled water. We don't know what's in bottled water either, because they're
right.
not measuring hexavalent chromium in bottled water. So it's right. You're not sure that if you buy bottled water, you're also safe from getting exposed to hexavalent chromium or other chemicals.
Okay. So what do we do with this?
So
is this
12,
a lethal threat, or just
no,
I could drink it for a couple years and then move on, or where can you go? I don't know.
The Erin Brockovich people, many of them were drinking 10 parts per million, which is 10,000 parts per billion, which is a lot
way above
more
these
than you're talking about here.
Okay.
And it was quite variable because some wells had it and some wells didn't because the stuff travels. Well, in that case, the chromium was used as an anti-rust agent, antifungal agent, and they would just throw the residual water with the chromium, about 5% chromium in it, into unlined ponds, and it got into their aquifer. But the exposure was quite variable in that situation.
Right.
That's why you probably don't see, and then it was a small number of people, you didn't see a cancer cluster. But I was the expert witness for the plaintiffs in that case, and I can tell you the medical records I reviewed showed a lot of problems associated with chromium. So there's no question in my mind that the number of people in Hinckley were exposed.
So here's Ken Kaminsky. You know, he's a good guy sitting there. We presume, and he wants his folks in Norman, Oklahoma, to be all right. And he's got, 12 or so parts per billion.
Yeah. Now that's thousands of times less than the Hinckley. The Hinckley was a real poisoning situation. I mean, it was dangerous just to drink a few glasses of that.
Right.
Of that hexavalent chromium.
But what if you're in Norman, Oklahoma, or Honolulu with 2 parts per billion, or where I am at 0.03 parts per billion in Boston?
So the California has set it's not a standard, it's a public health goal.
Yeah.
And what they said is that if you drink anything higher than 0.06 parts per billion during your lifetime, they're talking about your entire life, not just one glass. Obviously, one glass is not going to hurt you. That it is dangerous. I think that it's important to avoid hexavalent chromium. I think they're on the right track. But 0.06 is 60 parts per trillion. You're getting down to, and now they're going, as was mentioned on your show earlier, they're even thinking of 0.02, which is 20 parts per trillion.
Per billion, I believe.
No, 0.02 is 20 parts per trillion.
Whoa.
0.02 parts per billion is 20 parts per trillion.
Right, okay.
Okay. It's just another way to look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's very low. So 12 parts per billion, I would be concerned about drinking water with 12 parts per billion for a number of years. That would concern me, yes.
Ken Kaminsky in Norman, Oklahoma, what's your plan? How are you hoping to respond to this clanging call?
Well, as I said, we pride ourselves in protecting our public health, and the source of water, we do have wells, and it's naturally occurring in this part of the country, and 75% of our water comes from surface water, so the blending overall over a year's time is not quite the 12 parts per billion that our customers are getting. It's because we're getting 75% of our water from the surface water.
I see. From Lake Thunderbird won't have that same level in it, you're presuming, or
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, we tested it, and that's the other piece, is that even I've talked to the state here, and we don't have in this region, not just in Oklahoma, but in the region, we don't have testing laboratories that can go into the point zeros or the point parts per billion. I mean, some
that's pretty wild.
The EPA says, I think it's, if it's less than 10, it's 10 parts per billion, it would be considered almost non-detectable. So there's not a lot of labs that can do that.
If this turns out to be a big problem, what can you do about it? Could you filter all this water for Norman, Oklahoma? Is that in the realm of economic feasibility, or not?
Well, I've always said we can do anything you're willing to pay for.
Well, that's what I mean, though.
And so, yes, our water treatment plant that we have now is a lime softening plant, which does precipitate out heavy metals. That would work as a method, but we'd have to double the size of our water treatment plant. That would come at a cost.
That would be millions or many millions, I assume.
Yes, many millions.
So what to do? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Caroline, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I had a question for your guest. One of the cities on the list was Villanova, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia. I'm from the suburbs of Philadelphia, right. And recently the suburbs of Philadelphia were also in an article discussing the dumping of fracking fluid
right.
from natural gas companies into the open waterways, such as Delaware River, Neshaminy Creek, and other
This is
open
going
waterways.
For natural gas and all that fracking, cracking stuff, yeah. So what's your question, Caroline?
So my question is, what can be done about establishing FDA or EPA standards about with these different components, and particularly heavy metals or carcinogens, that are in the water before they get into water supplies, they get into the tap water?
Let us pick it up. Max Costa, let's come to you. You know, what can be done, or maybe even what's on the rails, we hope. What, you know?
Well, if you're talking about hexavalent chromium, it's very difficult to get rid of. The precipitation he was talking about before would be for divalent metal ions. Hexavalent chromium is what's called an oxyanion, so it has a negative charge. So that you just can't precipitate it out, you'd have to use reverse osmosis.
Is that affordable? Is that economical for
millions, hundreds? Well, I mean, you can buy a machine for your house, about $300 or $400.
I should say, at our website, onpointradio.org, we do have a link to instructions on how you can deal with this if you want to try and do it privately. But I'm sorry, Max, for
But that, you know, that small reverse osmosis machine will only give you about 1 or 2 gallons of clean water a day.
Hmm.
So obviously,
okay,
if you have a large family or something, that's not going to do it, and you're going to have to pay more for a larger machine.
Yeah.
But that's really the only way to get rid of the hexavalent chrome. You can get rid of a lot of the other contaminants if you use a filter, like a Brita filter, another kind of filter.
Are you telling us we can't deal with this? That we just, I mean, are we sitting around, you're also a professor of cancer research, are we sitting around getting cancer on a mass scale in this country because our daily tap water is giving it to us?
Well, I mean, the levels you're talking about here are not very high.
Okay,
but if you combine it with all the other contaminants, and if we keep adding more and more contaminants in water, obviously you're going to have a mixture of chemicals that work in, by different ways. And over a lifetime of drinking water that's contaminated with carcinogens, you are going to increase your risk of getting cancer.
So to Caroline's question in Philadelphia, I mean, if you were, you know, king of the world, what would you do in terms of policy, or what's coming in terms of how the EPA and local officials look at this?
As most people, as one of your other guests said, most of the hexavalent chromium is industrial. There's not a lot that's natural.
Is it still being produced, or it's from the old days?
It's being used a lot. Being used a lot. It's used as an anti-rust agent in oil drilling. It's used to tan leather that's trivalent, but there's a lot of hexavalent chromium.
Okay.
It's used in stainless steel manufacture. Chrome plating facilities are all over the place.
So what should we do? What will we do here?
Well, I mean, if an industry is using a lot of hexavalent chromium, that industry should be regulated by the EPA.
Is it not now?
Well, it is now, but in the past, a lot of people just dumped it anywhere. You know, they just wanted to get rid of it. This was very popular in the 50s and 60s. A chemical company would have its waste, and it would just dump it somewhere. I mean, Pacific Gas and Electric just dumped the water right next to the pumping
in
stage. In Hinckley, and Kettleman was another place that's similar to Hinckley.
So policy-wise now, what are we on top of it or not? What should be done if we're not?
Well, the EPA is the policeman of the environment. They need to get out there and find out who's dumping things where, and they have found a lot of dump sites and toxic waste dump sites. The Superfund law made industry pay for the cleanup of some of these sites, but again, there's so many around, and it may still be happening. So it's just we need a better police force.
Wow, Max Costa at NYU in New York, you're terrific. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you,
Ken Kaminsky in Norman, Oklahoma. What's the reaction of your town been, your city been, to this news? How are people responding?
Well, as we said earlier, unfortunately, it did kind of catch us off guard, and it was more like a firestorm. So people, I don't think, if you read the initial report or what was published in the papers, don't realize that this is over exposure over a lifetime. So we're getting a lot of concerned people who think this is an acute problem.
But still, you must have a lot of lifetime residents in Norman. I mean,
that's true. We do. And we also have those cancer studies, and you know, the state cancer profiles show that there's no higher rates in Norman compared to the state of Oklahoma, and there's no higher rates in Norman compared to the county.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Where we are.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, we are glad to hear that. But it's back to, you know, we're very proud of our community and our efforts to protect our public health. So we have to rely on the state and federal governments telling us, you know, these are regulations that you must meet. And right now we're meeting what they tell us to meet.
We're listening very closely to your situation there, Mr. Kaminsky, and we wish you the best of luck with it, and we see the whole context around it. Appreciate you stepping up and talking with us today, and wish you the best there. Thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thank you very much.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we are talking this hour about the safety of American tap water and this new report that came out last month that found Aaron Brockovich's nightmare hexavalent chromium, chromium-6, in the water of 31 of 35 American cities whose tap water was tested. Jane Houlihan is with us from the Environmental Working Group in Washington. She's senior VP there. It's the group that did the research. Lots of comment online about this. Nick says, more evidence that the federal government must invest in the country's infrastructure. Oren wants to know, why isn't the EPA regulating this ask? Well, regulating this yet, and we'll ask about that. Solly in New Haven, Connecticut says, I'm really put off by the talk of bottled water being somehow safer. And here's a post online from Boston saying, tap water's dirty, bottled water is suspect. I guess it's gin from now on. I don't know. Maybe. Jane Houlihan joins us from Washington. With us right now from Fairfield, Connecticut, are Philip and Alice Shabakoff. They are co-authors of Poisoned for Profit, How Toxins Are Making Our Children Chronically Ill. Philip Shabakoff was chief environmental correspondent at the New York Times for 14 of the 32 years that he worked there. He's the founder of GreenWire. It's an online daily digest of environmental news. Alice Shabakoff is a journalist focused on consumer protection, is published all over the place, executive director of the National Consumers League. Alice Shabakoff, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. Pleasure to be here.
And Philip Shabakoff, thank you very much to you for coming in.
Thank you, Tom.
You all have been thinking about chemicals in our environment a lot and for a long time. What was your reaction to the Environmental Working Group's findings about 31 American cities with hexavalent chromium, maybe in small quantity, but in the drinking water?
Well, EWG always does a great job of doing the science and getting the work out, and this was another one of their many important reports. But, Tom, although you are focusing on chromium-6 today, I think it's important to go back to what has been said about it not being the only pollutant in the water. Our water is a witch's brew of pollutants, things like TCE, trichloroethylene, a solvent, which causes a variety of things, PCBs in the water of the Hudson and the Housatonic, perchlorate, which is from rocket fuel, which is polluting the aquifer of much of the West and getting into crops, medications that come through untreated sewage. So there's a whole bunch of stuff. It's also worth noting that the standards set are often set by committees that are dominated by the polluting industries. So while Ms. Comiskey, who I'm sure is doing a good, best job he can with the standard set, he's working with one arm tied behind his back. It's also important to remember that much of the testing done on these chemicals is done by the industry because the law is not does not require a government to do the testing.
By the utility companies themselves, you mean to say by that?
No, I mean the companies that produce these toxins.
Oh, producing the pollutants. I see. Okay.
That's right. It's also important to remember that children are much more vulnerable to these things. They drink more water. They don't have the defenses against toxins that that adults have. And they are showing the results in very high rates of chronic illness, including cancer, which used to be a rarity in children and is now growing, some types of it are growing by as much as 1% a year.
Alice Shabakoff, I think a lot of people have the sense that this kind of problem, a witch's brew of toxins, of pollutants, that's the old days, that's not now, that's back in some, you know, early 20th century industrial hell, not now in 2011.
I mean, actually, to the contrary, a lot of the problems in our daily environment are the ones that have started since World War II when we began to live a better living through chemistry. And it isn't only chemistry, by the way. It's in our book, Poison for Profits, we talk about how the waste from nuclear power plants is also getting into the drinking water, into the air. So things are not moderating. In fact, as far as we can tell, they are increasing. And what's behind it is an industry which is more interested in its profits than in the health of kids. When we looked at the federal statistics, we found out that one out of every three children in America now suffers from a chronic illness. And that all started after World War II, when we all started this manufactured, chemicalized life that we are all living. One out of every two pregnancies ends either in fetal death or a less than healthy child. And that statistic comes straight from the National Academy of Sciences. And this is, you know, we don't quote these figures in order to scare people, but in order to tell parents they have to be careful of what they are, how they are raising their children. And we have to get together to make industry more responsible for what it's doing.
Sounds almost impossible to handle this one by one. I've got a lot of questions.
Exactly. But
so do our listeners, though. Hampton, Virginia. Steve, you're on the air with Alice and Philip Shebikoff and Jane Houlihan. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Tom. I wonder if your panel can put the risk to our health from our water supply in perspective relative to other risks we face in daily life, such as driving without seatbelts, texting while driving, sports activities, etc. Knowing that would help us to know where to place our concerns and where to direct limited resources.
Okay, we got it, Steve. Thank you for that question. Philip, let me put that first to you. It's a dangerous world out there. How do these risks stack up against all the risks that life entails?
I don't think we should get into the numbers game. As we say in our book, the health of our children is not a zero-sum game. We don't want to stack up the health of kids that are getting hurt in automobile accidents from getting hurt in by the food they eat, the air they breathe, the dirt they play in, the water they drink.
Now, philosophically, I understand what you're saying completely. But here's a caller asking it, thinking about the trillions that we could spend here and the trillions we may spend there. I mean, give some answer to that. I don't think we should just
entirely blow it up. Well, if we have one out of three children sick with chronic illness, I don't see how you can avoid dealing with that. And to say that that should be up against seatbelts in your car, that's an unacceptable equation.
Steve, there you go. I mean, the numbers are pretty arresting. One in three, one in two pregnancies. I guess no matter what the ratio is, if you could make one, that's pretty hard numbers. Here's another. Roslindale, Massachusetts. Michael, you're on the air.
Hi. I got a couple of questions. One, first of all, is there a real good filter system for the home that will filter out all this stuff? That's the first one.
Okay.
And the second one is, we're getting more and more reliable on batteries. And where do these batteries end up? Maybe there should be refunds on them. I mean, batteries are in everything. Construction sites, kids, toys, everything. And a lot of these batteries either end up in the ground or the trash or in a dump.
We'll look at both of those. Jane, I'm going to come first to you. I mean, you've described the hexavalent chromium problem. We do have your guide for consumers at our website. You can link to it, onpointradio.org. But right here on the air, Jane, what can you tell people? And then we'll pull it back further, Alice and Phil. But, Jane, just on chromium-6, what can people do at home?
Sure. Well, we've talked a lot about lots of different pollutants in tap water, and there are some simple solutions at home. A simple carbon filter, like a pitcher, or one that you screw into the tap.
Like these Brita deals, that sort of thing. Is that what that is?
Yeah, can do a lot to reduce really common tap water pollutants, like harmful disinfection byproducts, lead, some knockout arsenic. And then a reverse osmosis system at home, a little more expensive, can reduce the levels of pollutants like perchlorate, rocket fuel, and chromium-6. Certainly bottled water isn't the answer, as one of your callers mentioned.
Why not?
Well, half of bottled water comes from municipal tap water supplies, first off. And secondly, the plastic itself can leach other kinds of chemicals into that water. And then we're left in the end with really a glut of plastics that pollute the environment. In fact, we drink so much bottled water that every 27 hours we drink enough for those bottles to circle the equator. So what we really recommend is filtered tap water for people. Drink from your house. You've already paid for the water, and install a simple filter to reduce levels of very common tap water pollutants.
Alice, Philip, what do you tell people about what you call the witch's brew, Philip, how they can tackle it at home individually? There's a bigger community issue here, but individually, what's your advice?
We also found it isn't only the water you drink, but it's also the water the kids bathe in or shower in, that you get a lot more water ingested, absorbed through your skin if you're taking a shower or a bath. And
then if you drink it?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
And as we say, kids are much more vulnerable to those kinds of pollutants. If I had children in my house, I would spend the money on a reverse osmosis system for the whole house.
But we heard Max...
It's a lot cheaper than dealing with cancer in your kid.
Well, that's quite true. But Max Costa in New York said, you know, you can put in a several hundred dollar system and just get a couple of gallons a day out of it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make for much of a shower plus cooking plus drinking plus family life.
Tom, the long-range answer to this problem, and it's no help immediately to families looking for a solution, is that industry has to stop making toxic stuff. It can be done. There is a whole new field of green chemistry where they can make products that perform the same function as those today, but with the toxic molecules taken out. And we have to start instituting the precautionary principle about in standards. Europe is now doing that. Industry has to prove that a product is safe before it starts putting it into products, into the water, into anything else. And
is that anywhere on the horizon, Philip? I mean, is anybody proposing that? You know, Jane and her group raised the alarm, and now the EPA is talking more about hexavalent chromium. But is anybody really going at the whole big picture of weaning off our chemical industries? It's pretty woven in.
Oh, it's being talked about, right? And Europe is starting to do it. But these issues are as much political as scientific, Tom. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the current political climate we have in the United States, it's not likely anything we're going to be moving in that direction anytime soon.
Exactly
what we hope that your listeners will decide that they have to work for. This isn't going to happen until parents and citizens realize what's happening to themselves and their kids and start to talk it up.
Jane, you're down in Washington. You're an activist group there. Do you see a push for this bigger, weaning off the ever-present chemicals in our life, in our economy, in our industrial world?
I'm optimistic, but we're starting from a baseline that is just dismal. We spend 19 times more on water treatment chemicals right now than we do on programs that help prevent that pollution in the first place. And we need to absolutely shift that balance. A couple of your callers have mentioned that. Let's invest more and put more emphasis on reducing the amount of pollutants that are getting into our drinking water in the first place. You know, we see growing numbers of chemicals completely unregulated in tap water supplies. We're now finding antidepressant medications that come from wastewater treatment plants, hand soap ingredients like triclosan, that's a hormone disruptor. We find oral contraceptives in our tap water now, fragrance compounds, flame retardants, detergents, you name it, it's now in our tap water. So I'm optimistic. We've seen a lot of great initiatives begun by this administration to improve our tap water, but we have an awful long way to go.
Mike in Camden, Tennessee. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, what do you know?
Mike. Are you there?
Yes, we are. What do you know, Mike?
Okay. Well, I did my PhD thesis some 40-some years ago on the oxidation of chromium-3 to chromium-6 with hydrogen peroxide in basic solutions.
Okay.
Now, the problems that your guests are recommending to people back in their tap water coming from their faucet.
Or the solution, you mean. Yeah, okay. They're recommending osmosis, the reverse.
See, chromium-6 is soluble in water. But if you're smart enough to take it back to chromium-3 and adjust the pH, you can precipitate it out as a hydrous oxide. Now, that's not going to be done in the kitchen sink. That's got to go to the source of the chromium-6.
Will a filter or a reverse osmosis setup do that for you at home, Mike?
No, it won't. It won't, because the chromium-6 is soluble.
Mike, I appreciate your call. Jane, what do you say to that? He's saying even that won't work if you put in the system.
Well, reverse osmosis filters are certified, NSF certified to remove chrome 6, so it's tested and measured. So it is a tested and certified way to remove chrome 6 in your home. And I'd also say there's a good compromise solution to the problem that Alice brought up. You know, you breathe a lot of these water contaminants when you're in the shower, or they absorb through the skin.
Yeah.
If you install what's called a whole house carbon filter, you can reduce the levels of those chemicals. And then this is what I do in my home. The reverse osmosis filter is set up only to treat the water that I'm drinking, because that's a filter that's an energy-intensive filter that wastes water. So if you install it, the only leading up to that tap where you're actually consuming the water, that's a really great compromise solution.
Philip, I have to say, these home solutions sound maybe like good ideas, but also kind of overwhelming and not likely to be adopted by wholesale by the American public. I mean, this is a bigger problem than we can ultimately address at home.
Well, of course it is, and long-term prevention is the answer. But in the meantime, Tom, parents ought to do whatever they can to protect especially their children from these chemicals and other pollutants. And in our book, we have a long, at the end of an appendix, we have a long list of practical things parents can do, what products to avoid, what to talk to about their local regulators about, sources they can go to for help in dealing with these issues. So while waiting for, and it's going to be some time, for the long-range solution to come around, parents ought to do everything in their power to protect their kids and themselves.
Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate all of you keeping our eyes open on this and raising the alarms where that's what we need. It's important work, and maybe not enough people doing it. Philip Shavakoff and Alice Shavakoff, co-authors of Poisoned for Profit, How Toxins Are Making Our Children Chronically Ill. Thanks for your work, and thank you very much for being with us today there in Fairfield, Connecticut, Philip and Alice.
Thank you, Tom.
And Jane Houlihan, Senior Vice President at the Environmental Working Group. Keep it up, Jane. We'll be listening. I mean, we want to keep it in context, but my gosh, the context almost sounds worse than the one you pointed out. Thank you very much for being with us today, Jane.
You're welcome, Tom.
Jane Houlihan at the Environmental Working Group. Listeners, check out her solutions at our website, onpointradio.org. And thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.